Please be seated. Once upon a time, and right now, God is dreaming. God looked on all God had made, and it was good. Indeed, it was very good. The whole of creation, 1,000,000,000,000 galaxies. A myriad of stars, each with their own dear collection of spinning planets. And this one particular star and its blue-green marble. Oceans and forests, deserts and mountains, and more critters throughout time than anyone but God could ever hope to count. And then there were the people. Oh, the people, like a palette of oil paints. They fill the world like handfuls of precious gems, all shapes and colors and sizes, speaking 1,000 different beautiful tongues, making music as varied as they and as shockingly beautiful, cooking food that makes even God dance with delight. Especially the barbecue. And oh, how good they were. And also how broken. Because even in that moment that God was inhaling that rich smell of brisket, or delighting over the painting artist's shoulder, surely God was also weeping over fallen children on a battlefield. Or starving babies. But here's the thing. God doesn't know despair. So God dreams. God has a dream, a precious, shining dream for all creation. An imperishable dream, one that can never fade, that never gives up, that never flickers, that is fueled by unimaginable, unflagging, unbounded love. Now, I didn't grow up hearing about God's dream. I'm guessing I'm not alone that I grew up hearing about God's plan. And plans, as every parent knows, are a very, very different thing than dreams. Plans for your children are, for the most part, coercive and pretty much doomed to failure. Certainly, if your kids are over the age of, say, 10 years old, they are definitely not going to go along with your plan willingly. The number of times as a youth that I heard the exasperated words, "Because I said so, that's why," from my mother, are too numerous to count. And lest you think that I am only the victim of others' plans for me, Tim could tell you stories of all the times that I have made elaborate plans for us and somehow along the way forgot to, you know, loop him in on the planning. So being the sort of young person who simply could not accept things at face value, but had to question everything, the whole God has a plan for you was problematic for me. Really? I'd ask. Did God think to consult me about that first? And do I get any say in this? And my long-suffering Sunday school teachers would sigh and say, "Of course you do, you have free will, that's part of what it's all about, but if you don't go along with God's plan, ... Then in my 20s, someone gave me a book by Verna Dozier, simply titled, "The Dream of God," and everything changed. A dream is a very different thing than a plan. The dream is the thing that first begins maybe when you find out that you're pregnant, or when you realize that you've fallen in love with that handsome boy or that pretty girl. It is nebulous and glowing. It grows to be grand, and then it shrinks down to a whispered prayer. Above all, it demands nothing but that it be nurtured. Our dreams change as the person that we love grows and changes. When that little girl takes her first steps, we might dream about her walking across a graduation platform or down an aisle. But mostly, we dream of her happy and smiling. Whereas a plan can be smashed by the tiniest deviation. So, for example, if we plan for that newly born little girl to stride proudly across the stage of our alma mater at exactly age 22, magna cum laude, there are a million things that can smash that plan into little, tiny, jagged pieces. And that can sow in that precious little girl sadness and shame and disappointment. If God were a planner, then every sin would smash that plan. Every exercise of our will would be something to be fought. But a dream is different. A dream takes a first look at a new love and sees a million possibilities. A dream watches the first baby steps and pictures maybe an astronaut or a ballerina or even a president. But then, a dream watches and listens to the heart. To the heart of that little girl or little boy. And as she grows and we see her joy and her promise, whatever that might be, the dream changes. It changes into a hope that she would become fully her greatest joy. The dream doesn't shudder and die when our beloved doesn't follow our carefully laid out plan. It evolves and moves and lives and breathes. Sometimes our dreams soar grand and dramatic. Sometimes they're the stuff of earth, the tiniest germ of hope. And when they remain, it's because we believe in the good and the love and the light. I sort of doubt that it's a plan that got us to Easter, but a dream that just wouldn't die. And that dream didn't stop at an empty tomb. That dream lives and breathes here in Waco. It lives in each and every one of you. You are God's beloved. God dreams about you, individually and as a community. This I know with certainty. God has a dream, and the good news is that dream raised a dead man. That dream couldn't be broken by human sin or stubbornness. It couldn't be broken by violence or fear. It kept right on, no matter what we threw at it. It kept right on hoping for us. And it's still walking with us. Now, God dreams big. This isn't some little hope that you'll have, you know, a fairly happy life, or that St. Paul's will have a good, solid fiscal year. This is God. When God dreams, universes become real. When God dreams, people walk out of their tombs whole. When God dreams, nobody goes hungry. When God dreams, anything is possible. And God is dreaming in your midst. Now, I don't know what you and God will dream together for the next 5 or 10 or 150 years, because that dream belongs to you and God. But I've caught little glimpses over the last 2 years. The dream I've seen, it looks like lonely people brought food and friendship. It looks like kids who need help getting it from people who dare to dream for them. It looks like community and friendship with people we would have otherwise never met. But God brings us together to dream. It looks like a whole school full of kids and teachers right here on our campus brought together for something bigger than testing. It looks like teenagers who society swears think only of themselves, filling up youth mission trips and giving everything they've got to people they've never met. It looks like all of you taking the wild chance on loving each other, despite knowing that you will get hurt and that you might not get anything back for that love. As people come and go, grow up and start families of their own, pass on to death, as new babies are born, as new Christians are born into this church through the waters of baptism, God's dream with St. Paul's will grow and change as well. It will soar and swoop low. It will follow wherever the journey takes you. The one constant in it all, in the whole of the salvation story, in the joy of Easter, in the life of St. Paul's, in each of our own lives, is God who dreams. So dream with God. Let those dreams be wild and inadvisable. Let those dreams make others shake their heads and say, "Can't be done," and then go do it anyway. After all, God is with you, dreaming. There is nothing, not even death, left for us to fear. Amen.